What really got you to do what you've done with your film?
Well, you know, my real interest, although I love the crop circles, and God knows we could say they're my real interest, but my real interest is in our consciousness and our worldview and how the world sees things, how as humanity we understand who we are, what we're doing here, that sort of thing. And the fact that we really are in an antiquated worldview. It's all based on money and materialism and scientism and all the kinds of contracted things that have got us in all the trouble that we're in. So everybody knows now we're in trouble. At least that, you know, isn't a hard sell anymore, where people used to just, you know, in the easy times, it was like, you know, why think about anything else? But now at least people are sensitized to where, you know, we know there's more to think about, or we need to think about more. And when the crop circles came along, I was already producing all kinds of other events and projects that had to do with consciousness. And worldview wasn't a word we used way back when. That's a newer word. But consciousness, for sure. And actually, it started with self-awareness, personal growth, that sort of thing. I go back a long ways.
So do I.
Yeah, but, you know, along the way, actually in the late 1980s, the crop circles came along as just another topic that might, you know, I was the understanding at that time in England, where most of them were appearing, was that they were, quote, landing pads for UFOs. And so I thought, well, and they were crop circles, of course, those were the pictures, and I thought, well, if these are coming from elsewhere, this would open people's minds, this would get them thinking differently, this would affect our consciousness. So the circles just became a topic among many topics that I was doing all sorts of things with, that all my whole life was all about, various events and projects that had to do with all of this stuff. But then, as time went on, gradually they took over. They have eclipsed all the other things that I had a lot of energy on. Although, as I deal with the circles, I still deal with them within the context of consciousness. Why are they here? What could they be doing to us? What would happen if we actually discovered that they're coming from elsewhere? These are the things that really interest me, so that we can even get our minds in that, going in that direction. We can even open our own minds to the difference that it would make if we actually knew we were not the only intelligence in the universe. And, you know, an open mind is a mind that new things can come into. So my purpose really, and with, I mean, how do you tell the world about anything? You know, as my enthusiasm grew for what was going on with these circles, you make movies. And I used to be an actress. So it was, you know, an easy kind of move for me to go from in front of the camera to behind the camera. And you know, the objective of my movies is to get us thinking about how different the world could be, our whole world, everything, you know, the way we construct things, the way the value system that we're in, what we think is important. And, you know, we need to move from all of this separation and violence and, you know, to where we don't think collectively of humanity as our brothers and sisters, where all of humanity is precious. You know, we're all trying to beat each other and compete and destroy and what have you, and we've just got to get off that idea. And if, in fact, it were established, for sure, everybody in the world knew there's other intelligence, it would humble us. We would no longer be able to be so arrogant and so destructive. Our minds would be open to an otherness that was actually more intelligent than we are. I mean, they're visiting us. We're not visiting them. We would be one humanity in relation to the other. And wouldn't that be good for us? It would be one conversation, you know. We'd all be curious. Everyone would be trying to figure out what to do. And who knows what the otherness would do if we really were open to it, as opposed to denying it's there, or, you know, some danger we'd shoot it if it landed on the White House lawn, that sort of thing. So I think I've answered your question now at length.
you did good, Susan. See, my thing is, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, that it is time for our consciousness to wake up. It is time for us to get back to love. It's time for us to get out of the greed, the fear-mongering,
yeah,
the war, you know, the lying, the deceiving, the deceptions, everything that's going on. And it's kind of coming all to a head anyway, in my opinion, Susan.
Oh, it is. You know, I mean, we're in such trouble. Everybody knows it, you know.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, the basics of it all is that we have allowed all of this to happen, and it's time for us, like you said just a little bit ago, to take back our own power, re-empower ourselves to be who we are and all we can be without all of this, these labelings and these, you know, different lies that are constantly being told to us, you know. But people are a little lazy, Susan, in my opinion, and they have a very tough time making changes. It's like, in their opinion, well, I have what I want, so what difference does it make? You know, so people have got to start waking up with their consciousness, because it's the heart part. I call it the heart smart part. That's actually going to save us, not how much money do I have,
yeah.
am I the president of some place, or, you know, it's not going to be like that. It really
yeah.
has to come from within. And I think you're right. If all of a sudden they dropped down their lies and they said, oh, yes, we have been visited by UFOs for eons. In fact, one of the reasons why we're even here is because way, way back, thousands of years ago, they came here first and they did all of this. Wouldn't that
yeah,
be nice?
Yeah, very likely, too. Uh-huh.
Okay. Wouldn't that
yeah.
be nice? Wouldn't people start to go, oh, really? I don't believe it, but, you know, it might be interesting to talk about. At least it would be open and out in the public, and people like you, like myself, wouldn't have to go, oh, gee, should I talk about this now? Because I'd talk about it anyway, whether people want to
yeah.
hear it or not.
Well,
know?
It's that kind of shock and awe in a positive way that would be so good for us, because it's not even, you might say we're lazy, you mean say a lot of things, and, you know, we're cruel, we're selfish, da-da-da. But it's also, you know, we're caught in gears that are very complex. You know, this is a very sophisticated world, society, industrialism, whatever. And all those gears are so tightly enmeshed. I mean, for instance, you know, if the world sort of turned upside down, what would everybody do with their 401ks? It's not like they're selfish that they're worried about that. It's a viable concern that, you know, if everything becomes topsy-turvy, what happens to your security that's important to you? So it's not an easy thing to get humanity to rethink itself. And what could do that wouldn't be so horrible that it would, you know, destroy half the world and then the other half would have to, you know, put it back together again in some new way. But what about, you know, some peaceful kind of thing that would just shake us up so much that we have to say, oh, new game, what is this? What do, you know? But that would be so positive if it came from this acknowledgement that we're being visited. And, of course, the whole UFO phenomenon could supply that as well, but it's harder. I mean, I attach myself to the circles, not really knowing all that much about the UFO world, although I've learned a lot since they like the circles and they have me at their events all the time. But it's much harder to establish the reality of the UFO situation than it is the crop circle situation. You know, we can examine the material. We can take it into the laboratory. Science, we love science. We can do science on it, which does tell us that we can't do that, you know. So that's why my energy's so on the circles. But as I say, the UFO phenomenon, if they could crack that, if enough, you know, believability came in or authentication came in somehow, that would do it as well.
You know, and I think it's going to happen, because it's really hard to keep something that's actually this big a secret forever, you know, especially when the people are starting to wake up. And see, my take on this is that all these children that are here are actually going to be the ones who put the world back together anyway, given the chance if we don't drug them all out to who knows what. Okay? You know,
but
so,
little is right.
Yeah, which, you know, everybody has ADD at this point in this world,
right.
And according to what statistics say, which I totally disagree with, but that's my take. But, you know, I think that if people would just sit back, relax, breathe, and open their hearts, like we said a little bit earlier, and allow the people to learn, whether it's through these new children or just, you know, people actually saying, oh, yeah, there was a UFO that was in my yard just the other day, and they
yeah.
didn't do anything other than just land. You know, crop circles, though, have a different theme. They have a different story
yeah.
because, you know, there's the ones that say crop circles have been man-made, and then there's ones that say crop circles, yes, have been man-made, but there are very, very many of them that are very authentic. Because of the tests that we do, we know that it can't been done from man-made, and, you know, there's that great debate. But, see, my thought is whether it's man-made or made from some other planet or some other, you know, form of
dimension,
intelligence.
Who knows? Yeah.
They're still trying to give us some information. They're still trying to help us wake up. It's just that for some reason we're not listening. And that part's got to be lifted. You know, we've got to start paying attention. I mean,
well, that's why I've made, you know, my movie. I mean, my movie is all about saying, pay attention. You know, it's not ramming anything down anybody's throat that says, this is the way they're made, this is who makes them. No, no, no. It's just to indicate that we've got a real mystery here, and it can't be solved by our terrestrial kind of means. It's not coming from us, you know. So this would be just a godsend if the world would tune into it. So, you know, it's actually very heartwarming, actually. We've just been doing a lot of recruiting in the ways in which you play these games online now. And we've been doing a lot of recruiting that's gotten me hundreds of new YouTube subscribers to my clips on YouTube. If anybody out there is listening, my channel is Suzanne T, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E-T. And the people comment frequently when they subscribe. And I tell you, it is so heartwarming to read these comments. Thank you so much. Yes. Keep going. We love your channel. I'm just astonished. I mean, you think somehow that you're kind of like in a little bubble and nobody knows you're there and nobody cares or whatever. And now I've just got this inpouring of this just, I mean, I'm just feeling so blessed. That's what they say. Oh, we're so blessed you're there. Well, I'm so blessed they're saying that sort of thing. It's so encouraging.
Susan, give out your website and your blog site, and
well, the best site to get on that you can access everything else is the CropCircleMovie.com. That will give you my DVD. You'll see you'll see the trailer. It'll come up automatically, and then you'll read a little bit about this and that, and then you can buy the DVD, and you can sign up for my mailing list. What my mailing list gets you mostly are posts I put on my blog, which I just love. If I weren't doing anything else, I would just do that blog because I love to find the most interesting things going on that most people have never heard about that have to do with the way we think, our consciousness, our spirituality, our self-awareness, our worldview. And people love getting my stuff. So directly, you could sign up there, too, is theconversation.org, which is the blog, and then you can read all the wonderful things I send. But when I send out my mailing list that you can get on there, you will also get little news that isn't part of the blog post that are, you know, this is what's happening with the movie, this is blah, 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 you know, all the little chatter, you know, that I supply. And it's a very low-volume list. I don't send out but every couple of weeks, and I send kind of a compilation of all the most recent posts that have gone onto the blog. So the two things, really. One thing would be the trailer and the movie on CropCircleMovie.com, easy to remember. And if you do sign up for the mailing list, you'll get on my blog. But if you want to read that directly, it's theconversation.org.
Okay.
Now, thank you for letting me tell them.
we're going to say it a couple times. Don't worry.
Good.
So, you know, we want people to hear.
Good.
Now, Susan, you're kind of a rarity in the crop circle field because most of the people, and even in the UFO field, actually, most of the people until lately have mostly been men. And now they have a woman in ufology that's out there, which
I'm
kind of new. Good. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about why all of a sudden it was kind of like a man's world, and now the women are jumping into the man's world with it.
Oh, well, now, that's a presumption you're making. What I would say is, how come people aren't noticing that there are so many women involved and are only inviting speakers who are men or giving articles to people who are men? And that's why that site, Women in Ufology, got created out of this frustration of all these highly intelligent women who are just as knowledgeable and, you know, valuable as the men in the field who aren't getting noticed that way. But then I would also hop over to the crop circle world and tell you that that has not really been the case in the crop circle world. There are women who are as prominent as men, and they do get invited to speak. And you know, when there are crop circle kind of events, they are not marginalized in the crop circle world. You'll see a bunch of them in my movie. All we have in my movie are the serious people who have been involved in crop circles. I gave it a tagline. The name of the movie is actually What on Earth? Question mark. But I gave it a tagline that sometimes kind of gets as if it's a subtitle, Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. And I called it that because it wasn't a movie maker who found the subject. I was a subject that said, I've got to make movies about this because I'm so part of that world. So what I did was I went and spoke to the most interesting people. I haven't counted it up, but I would say probably half of them are women. I knew the ones who had the good stories to tell, and I'm friends with them. So when you're watching my movie, you're not peering in from the outside of a kind of talking heads documentary where people are being asked questions and giving answers, but we're having conversations. You know, the camera's over, you know, is the unseen guest in the room, and it's just catching this engagements that I'm having with the most interesting people telling the most interesting stories. So it's very different from most documentaries you'll see, and certainly in most crop circle films that you'll see. You know, the cable networks go out every, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. Many of them, Discovery, National Geographic, History, they will go out and make crop circle programs, and they're all so terrible. They are those people who are looking from the outside. They like to be salacious. Is that the right word? Skeptical, I guess. Skeptical is a better word. Yeah, salacious, I think, is sex. No, they're not doing that with the crop circle. But skeptical. They like to be skeptical. They like to talk about hoaxers. In fact, the people who are the researchers, like kind of a loose word for all the crop circle aficionados who write the books and take the pictures and produce the conferences, et cetera, they really won't talk to those cable stations anymore because they'll interview them. And, you know, previously, they would come away from the interview saying, oh, I just gave the most wonderful interview. It's going to be so, I can't wait to see it. And then they cherry-pick what they say, you know, to distort what they say. And it's really horrible. I mean, you know what's the worst of all? Watch, I get arrested or something for defamation of cable or something, but National Geographic is the worst of all. You'd think they would be, you know, the ones that would have kind of the classy kind of image. Mm-hmm. They are terrible. They lie. I mean, it's terrible what they produce.
Yeah, I don't usually watch National Geographic. I know a lot of people do, but I don't because I'm real picky because I don't watch a lot of television of any kind.
Well, none of them have done good programs. You know what's good, actually? I'm on it, actually. History Channel is doing a great series. They're coming up on the third season called Ancient Aliens. You've seen that, Nancy, haven't you?
Yeah, I've seen that one. It's actually pretty good. You know,
I think that one's very good. It really blew my mind with all these things you can't explain from antiquity. It's not just the pyramids and Stonehenge. You know, you have things that are just mind-blowing about how technology we didn't have had to have been employed to do certain things. And I was in the first season. The third show had a piece about crop circles, and I'm one of the crop circle authorities there. But I've loved the whole series. I thought it was really quite wonderful. If anybody really wants to see the nature of it, I'm sure you can get it on iTunes. The very first one of the first series, they did a program before the series started that I don't. I haven't seen it actually, but I understand that the one you really want to see is the first program of season one, and it kind of gives you a little dabble into a lot of the different things they're going to be dealing with, and that one just hooked me. I mean, I watched that and I thought, I can't wait to see the rest of them, you know. So my recommendation, of course, after you buy my movie, of course.
Now where can they buy your movie?
Well, CropCircleMovie.com. That's the site we want to send them to. They'll see the trailer and they can sign up for the mailing list, which they definitely want to be on, and they can buy the movie. And it has great gifts, by the way. That was our sale site. When we had the price $5 higher, and we dropped it, we made a sale. And we put on great gifts. You can read the first chapter of Michael Glickman's book, which I think is the best crop circle book ever. You can't read it all on Amazon. You can get John Mack's talk that I actually have clips of in my movie. That was one of the best talks I've ever heard. The great John Mack, Pulitzer Prize winner, head of the psychiatric department at Harvard, a real celebrity in the intellectual world, and he's enamored of crop circles. And so you can see this fabulous talk that he gave at one of the crop circle conferences. You can't get those things elsewhere. They don't exist online except on if you buy Crop Circle Movie, and you have to buy the DVD to get those. That's your inducement to buy. But it'll give you the little ads for it so you know what it is you'll be getting. So, CropCircleMovie.com. Okay.
Good. That's a good one. Okay, now, on all your adventures, let's call them adventures.
Yes, we can.
of the Crop Circles. Let's start there. Which one actually fascinated you the most?
Well, definitely the most fascinating one was one I did not put in my movie, except you can see it in an aerial, and I didn't put the story in because it was too long. You know, in a movie, you've got to just be ruthless, and, you know, what will you put in, what won't you put in? And I didn't take any particular circle and tell the long story of it, because then I would have had to have left out more generic sort of things that I wanted to cover. But it was the message one that came in 2001. Nobody has ever indicated any intimation of hoaxing about it. When it came in, I said, okay, the world's going to find out. The whole thing's going to be busted open. This is going to be the doorway. And the world paid no attention whatsoever. I particularly thought the world would pay attention because it came on the heels of one that the world did pay attention to, which was the biggest one ever. It's the size of 2 football fields. We end our movie with it. We do a pullback from a helicopter above one circle, and the pullback in the sky goes higher, higher, higher till the helicopter becomes a pinpoint, and you see 402 other circular shapes in this massive formation that's the size of 2 football fields. So CNN came to that one. The World Press, when something unusual happens, that isn't your everyday miracle. That's when the press responds. So the fact that this was so big got the press there. And then I thought, well, a 1-2 punch. Now this message thing has come in, and now really it's going to be a major story in the world. And as I say, they ignored it. But I'll tell you kind of why. So for the listeners who don't know this message, you'd find out a lot about it online. I mean, Crop Circle Message, I think, is all you probably have to put in your Google search, and you'd get a lot about it, including a wonderful little video of 7 minutes that was made by my ally from Norway that he has on YouTube about it. There was a binary code radio wave message that was sent out into space in 1976 that Carl Sagan was the head designer on. And you can translate binary code to a pattern if you put it on paper, but it was sent out in radio waves, and it described our state of life on Earth in many different significant aspects. Our table of elements was there, where we are carbon-based. It showed how many planets in our solar system. We're a third planet from the sun. How tall we are. There's a whole bunch of encoded information. And it was done just commemoratively. You know, we do that. We bury time capsules, you know, who knows, in the billions of years, would anybody ever find it? So we sent this out because it was a commemoration of the biggest telescope in the world that had been built or rebuilt to be the biggest in Puerto Rico at a place called Arecibo. So the Arecibo message went out. It wouldn't have even landed on a solid body in space for 26 years, I think. Nobody expected an answer. And then this was 1976. 2001, the exact corresponding pattern with different information in it arrived in this wheat field near the biggest radio telescope in England. So Chilbolton, it's called. So the Chilbolton radio telescope crop message it was like they're telling us about them. 3 inhabited planets. They're silicon-based, not carbon-based. They're about 3 feet tall with big heads. Everything that we sent, they sent the corresponding information with different data in it, presuming it's who sent it back to us. So this was just so, you know, beyond the beyond. It was just a fabulous crop circle, hardly a circle, but many of them are not circles anymore. And so that would definitely have to be, top of my list of favorites. And it actually, there was an intervening one in between the biggest one ever and that one that came in the same field as that one, just, you know, a little, 20 yards away, that had come in about a week before, which is also quite unique and quite marvelous. And again, we have an aerial in the movie. You see them both because they're right next to one another. We don't talk about them. But the other one is, it looks like the face on Mars, and it was so interesting in how it was done. When you were in it, as I was, it was just, you couldn't begin to discern a pattern. I mean, you can't really tell the real pattern in the ones with geometric shapes, but you can see they're geometric. This one, you had no idea what it was because it was all dots, big dots, little dots, you know, little tufts of standing crop. But when you got above it, that's the way they make newsprint, newspapers, dot matrix, little dots. If you magnify your newsprint, you'll see it's all little dots, little, big, you know, different sized dots. That's what makes your newsprint. Well, that's the way they made this circle. And, you know, in it, you had no idea. But when you got above it, oh, that looks like a face on Mars. So, that you know, that was kind of like the herald, almost like, hello, this is us. Now we're going to give you all this information. And we got that, message crop circle back. So, do you see why I couldn't put it in my movie? It took me so long to tell you. It would have taken up half my movies.
But that's pretty good, you know, because a lot of people, they are very, very interested in crop circles. Because, one, most of them are very, very beautiful. I mean, they're just beautiful to look at.
Right.
And you sit there and you go, how can this be done? You know, and then you read an article about it, says that this is done in 20 seconds, you know, just for example. And you sit there and go, yeah, right, okay. You know, so that's highly unbelievable. But they're just so beautiful that it's really hard to think that there is somebody who can take an hour, 2 hours, all night long, whatever it is, and tromp that out and look pretty, you know, make it look that great.
Well, now, it is a great mystery. We do have hoaxers, and they get better and better at it, and it is a bit of a mystery how they do it as well as they do, but they can't do it as well as the real guys do it. So.
Well, there's something about the way that the crop fields are laid down that makes it very different than if a person actually has done it.
You know, in fact, in the lay, you know, they keep adding kind of different dimensions, different aspects to it. And at some point in the mid-90s, they added an aspect where on a sunny day, when you were up above and photographing or sightseeing from a flying vehicle, helicopter or microlight, however you go up, you would see it looked. Many of the circles had a three-dimensional look to it. A pyramid would stand up. It would look like it was standing up, not just flat surface. And that was because of the different directions in which the different aspects, the different parts of the pattern were laid. On a cloudy day, that didn't make any difference at all. But the sun caught those things differently, or catches those things differently on a sunny day. And so, indeed, that you do see this three-dimensional aspect. And as far as how pretty they are, you know, you could sort of account for that in a way you could explain it by the fact that the geometric ones are designed with sacred geometry. And sacred geometry is the building block of our universe. Everything in this universe is, you know, sacred geometry, the relationship of the planets, even your own body, if you reduce it to mathematical relationships of the parts, they're all sacred geometry. Plants grow in a pattern that if you reduce it to ratios, it would come in as sacred geometry. So what they're doing is they're employing, and beautiful cathedrals, they've taken this sacred geometric template, and that's when it gives you this uplifting feeling because you're in this design pattern that is the fundamental of the universe, and the universe is gorgeous, you know? So people don't really know that when they look and they say, oh, that's very pretty, you know, but a lot of the reason it's affecting you that way is because of these geometric patternings that they're designed with.
When you go, Suzanne, and you stand inside of the crop circle designs, do you get the same kind of feeling in one that is real versus one that has been, let's say, man-made?
Well, that is a big can of worms question because I can't tell you from personal verification because I am not sensitive in the way that many people are where they tingle or they get they feel elated in some physical way or even feel I don't want to say sick, but some kind of adverse physical reaction. Sometimes people have to leave them. The energy's too strong or what have you. But I'm a mental person, and I just go into awe at them. And you know, we're not sure sometimes which ones are for real and which ones aren't, particularly if the researchers don't get in early. They get trampled, the evidence gets lost. So it'd be very hard for me to, I would that I could say to you, the real ones give me a rush and the fake ones, they do nothing to me. But I really can't tell you that. You know, just one little person who has my own little ins and outs. And as I say, I'm not even sure all the time if what I'm in is a fake or not. You know, some of them have been examined in the laboratory. We know those for sure. And others have left very undeniable, isn't that word, undeniable evidence of either not being hoaxed or being hoaxed. So some of them we absolutely can tell. But others, you know, we're mystified, and I can't give you an answer. But the answer I've given you is that there is a lot of reaction that people do feel in the crop fields where, you know, they have a lot of physical reactions to them. And you were mentioning before also about how long it takes. You know, English summer nights are 4 or 5 hours, and you look at these massive ones, you wonder how could any team of people, and they do go out in teams, possibly lay that stuff down. Those 409 circles and two, the size of two football fields, and a 4-hour window of English darkness. I mean, that does not seem reasonable. But the truth also is, as I show you a simulation of in my movie, there have been eyewitness accounts. People have had crop circles appear when they've been there and they've seen them. And every single one says the same thing. They say they go down in 6 or 7 seconds, the real ones. They just swoosh down. You know, there isn't any building process. They just go down. No matter how big they are, no matter how complicated, they swoosh down in 6 or 7 seconds. So put that in your pipe.
Yeah, that's a good quickie. Susanna, I'd asked you when it comes to different crop circles and stuff, why so many of them appear in England and over in the UK area versus the United States?
Well, first of all, maybe they do appear in the United States, but our planes fly overhead real high. They'd never see them. There's a lot of private aviation in this little area. The planes are flying all the time. And, you know, if you were the great circle makers from beyond, wherever that is, and you wanted a place to put your great artwork, you'd want to put it where people are going to see it. So England is a great spot. This little area is a great spot just for that sort of thing. But, you know, we're all speculating. They haven't told us why they've picked this area. And they are, by the way, in 40 other countries, but they're scattered there. You know, you never know when they're going to show up in these other countries or where. But in England, you can rely on the fact that the focus of them is in this one little area. They kind of fan out from there, but most of them appear in these two counties in England. And we actually go into some speculation in the movie about, I wonder why. And some of the reasons, well, the one I like the best is, again, you know, we're interpreting, you know, we're putting our minds to why they might be doing it. And the one I like best is because of the nature of the particular area there, which is, for thousands of years, has been lived in and occupied and has been an area for sacred ceremony. There's a lot of artifacts there that were built, which seem to have some reason for pilgrimages, for ceremonies, Stonehenge, of course, being the most famous of them. But you can hardly turn around in this area without falling over something, big or little, that it's a remnant of these ancient times. And the whole area, some of them have different related kind of ruins, that this thing led to that thing and this thing led to that. It was a whole complex of things. Avebury is the center of one of those complexes. And Avebury over in England is just as famous as Stonehenge. It's a very, very different kind of stone circle. You see a lot of it in my movie. The circles really congregate around there more than they do around Stonehenge, actually. And there's a little village right in the middle of it. It's that big a stone circle. And, in fact, strangely enough, this little village, there's a pub, there's some residential things, there's a couple stores right in the middle of this gigantic stone circle. And, you know, in antiquity, not all that long ago, people weren't really respecting ruins. They didn't, you know, think that they were to be preserved or, you know, made into national treasures or some such. And a lot of the structures that are in the middle of this circle have stones that were built, that were cracked, you know, and hacked to give building blocks for these structures. So a lot of the big circle, well, just like Stonehenge, a lot of it's missing. Well, a lot of it's missing in these big circles where it is in, or maybe Stonehenge isn't missing, it's just fallen down. But in this Avebury circle, a lot of it's missing, and a lot of it is in the structures in the middle of the circles. You know, times have changed. There was a real campaign to stop that from happening, and so they could preserve it as a national treasure, however long ago, 100 years ago, 75 years ago. You have to look it up.
When you did your film, out of all of the people that you had on there that you talked with, who did you, well, let's just say, who did you find the most fascinating?
Well, there's a couple people who would stand out, I think. Certainly John Mack, who was a Pulitzer Prize-winning Harvard, head of the psychiatry department at Harvard. And he was a world-class figure. I mean, people were, and deservedly so, both for his daring and daring not to be a conventional scientist, and also for what a wonderful being he was. People were just enamored. I was in love with him. What can I say? But then again, when he actually died a couple of weeks after he gave this wonderful talk, he was hit by a drunk driver in England. You know, people don't look going the right way or whatever, but the guy, driver was drunk and killed him. He after he died, the obituaries that came in, I saw, oh, I'm so glad I was in love with him. So were 4 million other women. He was just the most attractive, intelligent, warm, lovely human being. And he had fought his way at Harvard because when he became interested in his specialty, became people who thought they'd been abducted. And it started because he was a psychiatrist and he was doing a study on those people because he wanted to find out what the pathology was, what was wrong with these people. And what happened when he did his study was he discovered nothing was wrong with them. And that got him really interested. So he wrote a bestseller, number one on the New York Times bestseller list, called Abduction. Wrote another wonderful philosophical book after that called Passport to the Cosmos. And these are not easy questions like, yes, they have been abducted, or no, they haven't. There's realms, there's dimensions, there's whatever, but certainly not no story. I mean, the people telling exactly the same experiences, they don't know each other, they've never read anybody else's experience. What is that? What's going on in the collective unconscious? Who are we way down there, you know? He has the last line in my movie, which is, it is the most, what is the word, extraordinary experience, that's not quite the right word, of the other dimension in the history of the human race, something like that. So, you know, the fact that he became tuned in to the circles when he was invited actually to be a speaker at a circle conference where they invite related people in related fields. He knew nothing about the circles. He came over and he just had his mind blown. And this is the most fabulous talk. It's a piece of my bonus material if you buy my DVD. And we have little snippets of it in the movie. And we thought after that, well, this is going to be our doorway to the world. You know, he does have the world's attention. He is a highly regarded person. And they know they can expect the unusual from him. And then 2 weeks later, he wasn't with us anymore. So, I mean, a great loss from many points of view. And then the other person who, actually, come to think of it, another piece of the bonus material on my DVD is a eulogy to him by the other person I would tell you is, you asked me who are the most, you know, delicious people. Well, the other one, I would have to say, is Michael Glickman. He got into the phenomenon early on. In fact, I show the formation that got a lot of the current researchers in It came in 1990, and it was the first one with a straight line after they'd had all these circular ones. It was the biggest one ever. And there were people who had that kind of reaction, like from Close Encounters, where I've got to get there, you know, and they came and they stayed. This guy used to be a professor of architecture at USC. He then became one of the leading crop circle researchers. He was a brilliant geometer, is a brilliant geometer. And he's written the most recent book, and I think a very different book from everybody else's. Everybody else is kind of giving you history of the phenomenon, pictures of the phenomenon. They're fine, you know, some of them are very good, actually. But this is inside, like, this is what I discovered. This is why I realized something was happening. This is, and look at this extraordinary aspect of it all. And he'll take you kind of into the phenomenon in a way that, and he's very funny and charming. So this book is called Crop Circles, The Bones of God. And in fact, you can buy it from the front page of my blog, theconversation.org. If you go over to the column left, you'll see I have a link to it. But I highly recommend this book, Crop Circles, The Bones of God. And Michael Glickman, you'll see in the movie, he's delicious. He's charming. He's got a wink in his eye. And we kind of gave him a lot of jokes in the movie. They weren't sort of conventional jokes like Hollywood tells jokes, but they're kind of funny little lines that you'll see if you see the movie. So
that's kind of cool. Now, give out your websites again so people can find you.
Okay, you can see this movie. You can see the trailer, and that, of course, will definitely induce you to buy the movie on cropcirclemovie.com. So the trailer will come up, and hopefully you'll buy the movie, and you will get on my mailing list there, which will get you these fascinating things about what's going on in the world that you will not likely have read elsewhere.
Great. Now, were you on the Rosie O'Donnell show?
I was. You know, she does a radio show on Sirius Radio, and this is one of the best things that has ever happened to me and to the circles. She discovered the movie, and I got a call. Rosie did 10 minutes on your movie. She loved it. She talked all about it. She told everybody they had to see it. And then the producer called me. Well, we want you on the show. So, indeed, I went on her show. I've never sold so many DVDs. I sold over 100 DVDs. That's really good for being on a show. People listened to her. They all went and bought my DVD. And she's about to do a daily talk show again, like she used to do, only this one's going to be on Oprah's network, OWN. It won't come on until after the summer. But she said she wants to do a whole show about the movie and me and the phenomenon, about the phenomenon, essentially. And that will be so wonderful. We've never had that kind of exposure before. You know, never, ever, ever been on a, you know, really well-watched television show that isn't making fun of them or being cynical about them, you know, or doing their movie about them. But no live show has ever really let us talk about crop circles. So this is very thrilling to me. I almost had her in England this summer. You know, now we've gotten connected. We are connected. And we were making the itinerary. We were going to go over there, and this is what we do and whatever. And then she just got overwhelmed with having to prepare the TV show and said, no, I really can't do it. So too bad. No summer excursion. Oh.
She may get to go next summer now. You don't know.
But, you know, the power of a celebrity. One of the odd things to me about the phenomenon is it has no celebrities. I mean, how come? How come nobody's ever gone over there and, you know, just like me and just like everybody else who goes over there goes, oh, my gosh, look at this. This is unbelievable. We have absolutely no celebrities. And, you know, that's how you get attention in the world, or certainly one way. And, you know, you can't get on like the daily talk shows, like Rosie's show that she's going to do, all the ones that are on now, the evening talk shows, or particularly the daytime ones. They're all pop stuff. They're all movies. You know, you gotta, if there were a celebrity who loved it, I could get on those shows, get on Ellen and, you know, Oprah when she was doing it. But Oprah was a horse of a different color. She wasn't pop-driven, but we couldn't get her interested in crop circles, so that was a shame. But most of those other shows, you have to be in the movie star world, and we just don't have any. So I'm thinking, oh, this Oprah champion, not Oprah, Rosie, championing us is just maybe the best thing that ever could happen for the phenomenon to get it out to the world.
I will have to try to get a hold of her. Maybe you can give me her contacts later. But the reason why I'd like to get a hold of Rosie, and I don't know if you know this, Suzanne, I originally came from Illinois, and I moved down to New Mexico. But I came down to New Mexico with one thing and one thing only in mind. It was to find land, find funding, build a school, open it, and run it. And it's for all these children that are very enlightened and that are
Indigo children, yes?
Yeah,
more
indigo crystal rainbows. But they're being labeled with ADD, ADHD. So the school is called the School of Now, and it's actually to help these children be all they can be without those evil drugs that they keep shoving down their throat. And so I did a fundraiser, and I couldn't have you on it, and we did talk about it, but I was already full, you know, with people by the time I got a chance to talk to you. But in December 10th, you talk about celebrities. One of the things that I'm going to be hosting is an event with Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi coming in to do a Blues Brother review.
Aykroyd
is very much into UFOs.
Oh, totally. Yes, the UFOs. You've never heard him say anything about crop circles. I'd love to get connected to him, actually. I'll trade you. I'll give you Rosie. You give me Dan Aykroyd.
You know, so, and I'm just waiting for their contracts to come in, you know, because they've already agreed, but they're bringing their bands and everything. So it's going to be a really big event again in Albuquerque, you know, and it'll be the first time that they have been together, Dan and Jim, to do a Blues Brother review since John's death. So this is a first time for a lot of things. And for them to be in Albuquerque, it's the first time they're ever going to be in Albuquerque, let alone be together. And they're bringing their bands and everything. So it should be
that's
a really
exciting.
Big,
really
exciting.
That's big time,
thing.
Big time, right.
Yeah. So there are a lot of celebrities that really are into UFOs, crop circles, and everything. Demi Moore and her husband, they're one of them, too, but you don't hear a lot about that. But Kircher,
I don't think any of them, by the way, are into the circles. I know there are UFO people, and, of course, I knew about Dan Aykroyd. He's probably the most visible one. But I don't think any of them are into the circles at all, really. It's very bizarre how that could be, but strange but true. I think that is the truth.
It's kind of funny because they may be into them, but not necessarily talk about them, because a lot of the stars don't talk about anything.
Well, if they'd been there, believe me, we'd know it. There is one who's been there because she went to school with one of the researchers who's in my movie, and that's Goldie Hawn. But I can't make a connection. I've tried, actually, but obviously she doesn't talk about it. I don't know if she's ashamed of it, but she doesn't talk about it, and but, you know, we know who goes over there. This is a little, you know, gossipy world. And I tell you, she's the only Hollywood person who's ever been over there. Strange but true.
Maybe we'll have to put together a little thing later on and just invite a few of them and see what we get.
Hey, I'm with you.
You know, you know, I mean, I'll
be on the committee.
Yep. I think that would be pretty interesting, you know. I mean, things start happening, and really, I think as people begin to wake up a little bit more, you'll actually know more people who are into a lot of, quote, the unknown, whether it be crop circles, UFOs, or just, you know, psychic stuff in general. But,
well, you know, there have been, God, you know, we briefly go over this in the movie, but there has been much more in the public eye from respected figures in the last couple of years, where people from the military, people from government, you know, once they leave the thing and they're not sworn to secrecy, whatever, or those kind of gag orders have been lifted, whatever. And, you know, Larry King used to do panels. Shirley MacLaine's into the circles also. I don't think she's been there. I don't think she's been to England, but she likes the circles as well. I forgot about her.
She lives here in
New Mexico. I actually did her radio show, but she was on a movie, and I couldn't get on except so I did it with her wonderful assistant, who wrote a great review of the movie in some publication. What was I saying right before this? She was on, blah, 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 Shirley MacLaine.
About some of them starting to really wake up.
That's Larry King, yeah, because I was thinking about she was on those Larry King panels. But he had these, you know, really very reputable people of note from not showbiz, but from these other categories who, you know, he would devote whole shows to the UFO stuff. And then we have the ex-governor of Arizona and the ex-defense minister of Canada, and they're all saying, yes, yes, these are real. I've had experiences. And more you hear, and then they've released a lot of the secret files. Various countries have released them over the last year or two. So there's more and more coming into public play, and you know that's usually kind of a barometer of. It's not just yes, there have been a few, but it usually means something's kind of on the move, and it's moving more and more, and so it seems to be definitely picking up steam for us to really be informed, you know, about the things that are still secretive and to really understand the genuineness of what we have tended to marginalize and be skeptical about. So is it definitely feeling that way? Just celebrities were a little short on, but or Hollywood celebrities were a little short on, but definitely more and more credible people from other categories have been showing up and actually getting attention on what we all should be paying attention to. So this is good.
Yeah, and it is going to be good. Now, we're just about out of time, Susan, so please go out to your website again and tell them how they get you.
Oh, you're so good, Nancy, to let me do this. Okay, you all want to go to cropcirclemovie.com, and you will see the trailer, and you can buy the DVD, and you can sign up for the mailing list. And if you want to look at my blog and see the kind of things you're going to get on the mailing list, where you also could sign up, it's theconversation.org. So they're easy to remember, cropcirclemovie.com and theconversation.org.
Great. It's been great having you on the show, Suzanne. We'll talk about what I still have planned to do to help raise more money to build my school.
Oh, it's getting juicy. I can feel it. It's stuff that you and I are going to talk about. I look forward to that, really. I've really enjoyed talking to you. I really enjoyed you talking to me about the deeper issues, actually.
Yeah, too many people just kind of skim over it and make a little fun of it, like you said. But I'm very much into all of it. But I would like to thank you for taking the time. It's been very wonderful, and thank you very much. And, of course, I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Go to the website, check out our movie, and see how much fun you can have. Take care. Bye now.